Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Reed's Wrestling. I am your host, Alan Reed, and today I'll be reviewing the June 28th edition of Raw. Now with this episode of Raw, it was mildly disappointing, but I want to get more into detail of what I thought about this night. So I want to get straight into the action and everything that happened. So the night starts off with an over-the-top battle royal, and the winner of the battle royal will get entered into the triple threat match, or as they're calling it, the last chance triple threat match. And the winner of that triple threat match will enter the Money in the Bank ladder match, but that triple threat match is what's going to happen later this night. So we have so many competitors in this match that I didn't really had the need to say who was and who wasn't in this match. But before the battle royal even started, Riddle, he gave Adam Pearce some sort of note, well, handwritten note, and it's from Randy Orton, and he says that he should take Randy Orton's spot in the triple threat match. And Sonya Deville and Riddle, and Adam Pearce, they make some sort of deal and say, like, okay, if he wins the battle royal, then, you know, quote unquote, Randy Orton will be added into the Money in the Bank ladder match. So we got that out of the way. So then as for the over the top battle royal, I mostly just jotted down the eliminations and who eliminated who, just to kind of get more ahead with this battle royal, because in reality this battle royal is, you know, everyone knows was a battle royal. Oh, you go over the top rope, you go back to the locker room. So as for the people and the action that happened, you know, Drew Gulak, he gets eliminated by Shelton Benjamin. Then Angel Garza, he gets eliminated, but he lands on the floor with one foot. And then the other foot, he's like literally like hopping around the outside of the ring. He pulled a little Kofi Kingston on us. And then he hops back into the ring, but then Mustafa Ali eliminates him. And then Mustafa Ali eliminates Mansoor, and I was kind of like, okay, isn't Mansoor supposed to be this guy's protege or unannounced protege? So it was kind of random for me. So then Jinder Mahal, he eliminates R-Truth. And then this is where, I mean, the comedy comes in, I would say, because Drew Gulak, he rolls over Kurosawa outside the ring, and Drew Gulak wins the 24/7 title. But then R-Truth comes in and he rolls over Drew Gulak and he wins the belt back. But then Akira Kurosawa, he then rolls over R-Truth and then he wins back the 24/7 belt. I mean, they're milking this 24/7 belt like crazy at this point. I mean, it happens anywhere. So then almost he comes out and he basically helps eliminate the Viking Raiders. Again, this is building up for AJ Styles and almost versus the Viking Raiders for the tag team belts. And then almost he throws the Viking Raiders all around the ring, and he throws Ibar to the apron of the ring, but the LED part of the ring, and then the screen just like kind of like goes like blurring, goes black. So then Damian Priest, he eliminates Jinder Mahal, and then Cedric Alexander eliminates Jeff Hardy. I'm guessing Cedric and Jeff are still going to have some sort of beef going forward to this. Damian Priest then eliminates Cedric Alexander. Thank God. Like I said, Cedric Alexander, I don't know why, just annoys the shit out of me. And then it's down to Damian Priest and Riddle. And my pick for this was Damian Priest, because I feel like he should get a big push after, you know, they haven't really found anything for him yet after the whole Bad Bunny, The Miz, and Morrison thing. So my pick is Damian Priest. So then Riddle, he does a bromission on Damian Priest. Riddle's hand lands on the apron of the ring. Then Priest, he gives Riddle a huge clothesline. And then Riddle does a triangle choke on Damian. And then both men, they hang on the apron now. And then Riddle, he knees Damian Priest on the head. Then Riddle, he wins the battle royal. So I was kind of disappointed because I was like, okay, I felt like Damian Priest should have won. And I feel like he deserves to get a push more than what he's giving. But hey, I mean, Riddle's in a row right now, so why not? And then, randomly enough, Riddle, he asked for them to play the Randy Orton theme song. So Riddle's on the turnbuckle. He does, you know, Randy Orton's like, you know, like little stands and stuff. He kind of flinches when the fireworks comes out. It's almost like he didn't know that was going to happen. So now the main event for Raw is a triple threat match. Like I said, now it's Riddle versus Drew McIntyre versus AJ Styles. Then we move on to Nikki Cross versus Shayna Baszler. as for this match, nothing crazy happened. It was a mediocre at best, really. Shayna keeps, you know, she tries to keep Nikki down on the mat. Nikki kept a steady headlock on Shayna. It was a very slow match, to be honest. I almost felt like they just didn't know what to do. The only great part for me was when Alexa Bliss, she comes out, and then Nikki, she jumps from the top rope. She does a crossbody on Shayna, Nia Jax, and Reginald. And then Shayna gives Nikki a massive knee to the head. And then Nikki, she does a tornado DDT from the top rope. And then we go back to this whole mind control thing with Alexa and these people. You know, Alexa, she's trying to, like, mind control Nia Jax. And she's, like, seconds from doing it. But then, out of nowhere, Alexa just attacks Nia. And then she kicks Reginald on the balls, which is really funny. And then Alexa Bliss, she just randomly walks away. And then Nikki, she rolls over Shayna. And then she gets the win. And to be honest, I'm actually starting to feel a little bad for Shayna. She's slowly becoming almost a jobber for Nikki and Alexa. I mean, Shayna is a monster. She is a beast. She deserves way more than what she's getting right now. Because, mind you, in NXT, she was incredible. She was, you know, I was going to be like, holy shit, she's going to kick someone's ass. She's going to break someone's arm. She gets to Raw, and she's doing her thing. But then slowly, she's almost becoming like a comedy act. And she did actually come out in an interview saying, like, hey, you know, I'm doing what I'm told to do. And I just don't want to be that, you know, the ass kicker. I don't want to be that tough girl. I want to grow into something more. So I get it that she's trying to, this is something new for her. But, I mean, come on. Give her at least one win, because she's been losing for what, three weeks in a row, maybe 2 weeks in a row, and it's kind of becoming a little repetitive. So then we have Kofi Kingston, and he comes face to face with MVP. Mind you, MVP is my favorite on the mic right now. This guy can talk so much shit, it makes so much sense, and he can manipulate the shit out of you. This guy's killing it. So then Kofi, he starts off by saying how he couldn't help Xavier Woods last week and how he feels awful because last week Xavier Woods was inside a Hell in a Cell with Lashley, and I mean Lashley beat the shit out of Xavier Woods, and Kofi couldn't do anything about it. And then Kofi, he says that we should start putting some respect on Xavier Woods for what he did. And it's true, Xavier Woods, as nerdy as he is, as maybe he's not the biggest guy or like the top guy you would think of, but hey, Xavier Woods does do a lot of work, and I respect him for a long time. So I'm with Kofi, we should start respecting Xavier Woods way more. And then Kofi, he's very confident that he's going to be Lashley and Money in the Bank. I mean, that guy's super confident. Is he going to beat Lashley and Money in the Bank? My guess is no, obviously not. They're going to push Lashley until SummerSlam. And then MVP ends up coming out, and MVP laughs at the fact that Kofi thinks that he's going to beat Lashley. Basically, MVP literally doesn't think that Kofi is good enough to go against Lashley. It's almost like MVP looks at Kofi as some sort of like a training guy. Like, guys, just going to train with him in the ring, and that's it. Then MVP says that Lashley, he enjoyed everything that he did to Xavier Woods last week. Kofi then says that Lashley is looking more beatable than ever. Do I agree with that? No. Lashley is not looking more beatable than ever. Lashley is looking way more intense than ever. Way more vicious than ever. This guy can break you in half. I don't know what the hell Kofi Kingston is thinking when he says that Lashley is looking more beatable than ever. And then they go, you know, they go back and forth on who has the most accolades. You know, Kofi Mania. And then MVP says, you know, Lashley, He you know, blood, sweat, and tears. He went through hell to get to where he is today. And then the bomb comes in when Kofi says, like, how is it that Lashley, he's champion and he's taking a vacation? That's stupid, because when Kofi was champion, he took no vacation. He took the belt everywhere he went. He did everything he was told to do. And now you have the WWE champion on a vacation. So, I mean, I agree with that, sure. And then Kofi, he says that Xavier Woods is going to be back next week. And then he calls out MVP's knee injury, and that it's been way too long that he's had that cane and that knee injury. There's no way he has a knee injury right now, that he's faking this whole thing. And Kofi had a point, because Kofi went outside and MVP tried to attack Kofi with his cane, but then Kofi does a Trouble in Paradise on the outside of the ring, and it kind of seemed like MVP was moving very good without the cane. So I actually would say that MVP is faking this injury for a long time. Then we have Asuka and Naomi versus Eva Marie and Doudrop. This match, I kind of missed maybe like the first 3 minutes of it because my cable went out. So I feel like I didn't miss much, but from what I saw, you know, Doudrop, you know, she tried to get the tag in, but then Eva jumped out from the corner, kind of reminiscing last week when Doudrop didn't get the tag in and she just let Eva Marie lose. But then Doudrop rolls over Asuka and she gets the win. And then Doudrop technically wins the match. But then Eva gets on the mic and says that Eva Marie won the match. Again, I have no effing idea where this is going. I don't see any substance. I don't see any evolution, as she will say. I don't see anything. I mean, it's almost like Eva Marie's comeback is almost a joke. It's not even a real thing, because if she was to be taken serious, she would have come back. She would have at least been in the run for the Women's Championship. I mean, I get it. They're trying to build her up towards that realm, towards the, you know, the Rhea Ripley's and the Charlottes. But I just don't see anything happening. As for Doudrop, I mean, poor thing. She's doing her thing, you know, but I don't really see her lasting too long in WWE unless they make her like turn on Eva, and then that kind of sets up a storyline for Doudrop and Eva, which is what they're hinting at. But again, I just don't see any substance. I don't see anything worth watching this. And I mean, mind you, I missed 3 minutes of the match, maybe less than that, because my cable went out and I just got home and I just see Doudrop roll over Asuka. So I was like, okay, that was a complete waste of a match. I mean, I just want to know what the hell they're planning for Eva Marie in her big comeback, with they've been teasing for months. So then we have Ricochet versus John Morrison, aka John and Drip Drip. And this match, I'll be honest, this match was entertaining, because there was one spot in the match that I'm going to get into that I was kind of like, okay, I see you. So then as for the match, Ricochet, he slams Morrison down and then drops an elbow. Morrison, he did a lot of like capoeira type of kicks in this match. He did like a lot of flow of capoeira, which is very interesting. And then Ricochet, he does a sliding kick that sends Morrison out of the ring. And then Ricochet, they're outside the ring, then Ricochet just jumps over The Miz on his wheelchair and he does a hurricane rana on Morrison. Great spot. That is such a Ricochet move. And then Morrison, he does a leg sweep. And then Morrison gives Ricochet a massive kick to the head. He goes for the pin. And then Ricochet kicks out. And then this is the part where I was like, whoa, okay, that is a WWE spot. How can I say? Morrison, he was all the way behind the barricade. Well, on top of the barricade. And then Ricochet, he climbed to the top rope. No, it wasn't to the top rope. It is to the top rope. Yeah, it was a top rope. And then he does a crossbody from the top rope all the way to Morrison. And they just go behind the barricade. That was a really good move. I mean, it was quite the distance. I mean, and then as the result of the match, both men, they get counted out. No one won. But that spot in the match was great. I loved it. That was such a Ricochet move that he did. I mean, this guy's a fucking flying machine. I don't know how the hell he does this shit. And I was actually thinking that if we were to get a proper Ricochet versus John Morrison match, I think it will be a show stealer. These two can do a lot of crazy maneuvers, and I feel like they can really, really bring on the show. I just wish that they would get a little more of a push. I mean, Morrison's kind of getting a push, but Ricochet, I mean, come on, man. He's been such a mid-carder for all his WWE career, man. Give him a little push. Give him a little, you know. Give him the U.S. belt, for God's sakes. Where the hell has Sheamus been? That's a problem. Then we have a six-woman tag match. We have Rhea Ripley, Dana Brooke, and Mandy Rose versus Shayna. I'm so used to saying Shayna Baszler, six-woman tag versus Charlotte Flair, Tamina and Natalya. And the match, I mean, the match starts off with fire. I mean, all six women that just get into a ring, they just start fighting each other. You know, Rhea and Charlotte are outside the ring, and then they go inside the ring. They start grappling each other in the ring, and then Dana and Natalya get inside the ring, and then Tamina super kicks Dana outside the ring. Natalya does a snap suplex on Dana. Natalya, she tries to roll up Rhea, but Rhea kicks out. Then Charlotte, she takes out Rhea Ripley's knees. And then Charlotte gives Mandy a big boot. And then Charlotte, Natalya, and Tamina win. And then Rhea, she gets a cheap shot in on Charlotte on the back of her leg. Now, again, I don't know what is going on with the women's division right now. At least when it comes to like a tag team women's division. It just felt like a waste of a match again. Kind of like the Doudrop and Eva Marie. It just felt like a dud. There was nothing going on. You might as well just let like Rhea and Charlotte fight to the death and get counted out, and then no one won. Like, I get it, you're building up. This whole thing was really about Rhea and Charlotte. I mean, sure, we have Natalya and Tamina with Dana and Mandy Rose. But the real main thing here was Rhea and Charlotte. And it's like, you know, dude, what's the point of putting them in a tag match if the tag match is literally like less than 5 minutes? And in reality, Rhea and Charlotte didn't even do anything. They just took cheap shots at each other and stuff. So hopefully with one more week, I think, left for Money in the Bank, or 2 weeks, they start figuring out something to make this rivalry at least a little more better. Because I just don't see anything happening that's worth watching Raw with these two women. And then we have Elias versus Jackson Ryker in a strap match. I, for one, am not a fan of strap matches because they tend to be so cookie cutter. So, okay, like, we know what's going to happen. The only strap match I really enjoyed was really the JBL and Eddie Guerrero one at Great American Bash in 2004, which was the cowbell strap match or whatever they called it. I think that one was great. But as for the other strap matches, it's 50-50 for me. It depends on who's wrestling and what they're gonna do. But as for the match, Elias, he actually has a new theme song, which is so random. I don't know, kind of. I'm so used to seeing like his theme song being him singing, and now you have someone else singing. It's so random. Hey, but it is what it is. As the match went on, you know, Elias, he quickly attacks Jackson Ryker once the strap is on. Elias puts on the strap around the ring post and he smacks it on Jackson Ryker's stomach. Jackson then pulls on the strap and makes Elias crash onto the ring post. Jackson then slams the strap on Elias' chest. Elias gives Jackson a knee to the face. He goes for a pin. Jackson kicks out with literally like a second before a three count. I actually thought Elias won that match like that fast, but no, Jackson Ryker kicked out. Elias then gives Jackson some hard hits with the strap. I mean, Elias's back was pretty red, but I mean, Jackson's was probably red too, but his tattoos probably covered it up. So then Jackson does some sort of like a side slam variation, and he gets the win. I mean, like I said, I mean, I'm not a fan of strap matches. They're such a show filler. I mean, this match is pretty hyped up for a week. Since last week, you know, Jackson was in the back. So, you know, he was hitting his back with the strap, and he challenges, you know, Elias to a strap match. And I was kind of looking forward to it, to be honest. I was kind of like, oh, you know, might be worthwhile. Was it worthwhile? Nah, not really. It was more of just a show filler. And I mean, I get it though. I mean, you know, they're trying really hard to make Jackson Ryker babyface, and I mean, it's going somewhere. But I just feel like it should go further and not just stick on like, hey, I'm gonna get revenge on Elias. I feel like they should start making at least kind of hinting at someone else that doesn't like Jackson Ryker, and make Jackson Ryker the babyface, and whoever else they want to put him to work with him as the heel. Who could be a good opponent for Jackson Ryker? I was thinking about that a lot last night. I technically couldn't really think of anyone that can be a good opponent for Jackson Ryker. like I was thinking of, I was literally thinking of like, let's say like an Xavier Woods, but I was like, wait, that'll be like a babyface versus babyface, and WWE doesn't like doing, you know, babyface heel versus heel, even though supposedly they're going for a Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns type of match at SummerSlam or after SummerSlam. So that's a heel versus heel match. So I don't know, maybe technically Roman will be the babyface in a way. But as an opponent for Jackson Ryker, I don't even know. Not even AJ Styles, because AJ Styles would be way too much for Jackson. I don't know. I think the problem is I have to see more of Jackson Ryker to see what he can do in the ring to kind of see who he can go against. Like I said, I was actually really thinking about this like for almost like 30 minutes, because I was like, you know, Jackson Ryker, he's legit. I mean, despite what he said before in real life, he's good in the ring. He can do something. I mean, whatever. Maybe one day I'll see who he can go up against and whatever can happen. We'll see how it goes. I've talked too much about Jackson Ryker. So then we have the main event of Raw. We have Drew McIntyre versus Riddle versus AJ Styles. And this is the triple threat last chance grudge match. You know, the winner gets into the Money in the Bank ladder match. And as for the match, it was actually quite surprising, to be honest. It was actually a pretty decent match. You know, Drew McIntyre, he gives AJ some monstrous chops in the corner. Drew McIntyre does a belly-belly on Riddle, and then he does another belly-belly on AJ. Drew, and at this point, Drew has gotten so many chances at rematches. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, this guy's gotten opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for the WWE Championship that I'm just like, Jesus, man. It might get to the point that he might burn out, or at least we might get a little bored with him, because he's always getting opportunities. It's almost like they're pulling like a John Cena. You know what I mean? When Cena was wrestling, he was always getting opportunity, and then I guess that's what kind of made us kind of be like, boo, Cena sucks. I kind of hope that doesn't. Happen to Drew McIntyre, because I for one do enjoy Drew McIntyre. And then Riddle, he does a flying shot on Drew outside the ring. Then Riddle, he suplexes AJ on the floor. Then Drew gives Riddle a suplex on the floor. Riddle and AJ then double team Drew, and they drive him through the announcer's table. And then Riddle and AJ, Riddle and AJ, this is another one that just like who was I talking about that I said that kind of, oh, Ricochet and Morrison, that if they were to like I said about Morrison and Ricochet, if they were to have a singles match, like a real singles match, it'd be great. I think if Riddle and AJ, if they were given the opportunity, I think they would put on a hell of a match. I mean, this will honestly be, I think, like a WrestleMania type of match. Riddle and AJ will put on a hell of a match. They can easily steal the show. I honestly believe that they can easily steal the show if given the opportunity to be in a singles match. Oh, like, my God, I was thinking about the possibility that could happen with these two wrestling. Oh, my God, it would be amazing. I hope one day they actually decide to do a Riddle versus AJ Styles, because I will be so into that. As for the match, it keeps going. AJ, he works on Riddle's left leg, and then Riddle does Randy Orton's, you know, rope DDT, what I call it, the rope DDT. Drew McIntyre plants Riddle's face first in the ring, and then AJ gives Drew McIntyre a flying forearm outside the ring, and then this was kind of an idiotic move on Riddle's part. That I'm like, okay, why the hell would you even do that? So he runs to the steel steps, and he hits his foot on the steel steps, and he gets injured, and then he has to be carried away from the match. So then I'm like, okay, you're gonna run to a steel step when you're not wearing any protection on your foot. You're wrestling barefoot. Why the fuck would you even do that? I mean, that's Riddle. Riddle's trying to he's really overdoing the whole Randy Orton thing sometimes. So then it turns into a Drew McIntyre versus AJ Styles, at least for the time being. And Drew McIntyre gives AJ a big spine buster. Drew then gives AJ a Michinoku driver, which is a move that I barely seen in WWE, a Michinoku driver, very interesting. And then AJ, he does a calf crusher on Drew McIntyre. And then Riddle, he comes back and his foot is all taped up. And then Riddle, he hits AJ with a bro kick and then hits the RKO. He goes for a pin, but then Amaz, he pulls out AJ out of the ring before the three count. So technically Riddle had that shit won, but of course Amaz, or almost, he had to pull out AJ. And then Drew McIntyre, he does a Claymore kick on Riddle, and then Drew McIntyre wins. And he gets another chance at the WWE Championship. And it's like I said, he is getting opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. I'm kind of staring like, yo, he's going to be saturated. And a lot of fans might get a little bored with him, you know, as the babyface, always getting the win. We'll see how he goes. Is he going to win the Money in the Bank ladder match? I don't think so, honestly. Because remind you, the whole stipulation thing for Hell in a Cell, like as long as Lashley is champion, Drew can go against him, but technically, it doesn't involve, it involves a singles match, I think, or any type of match, but technically it doesn't involve a Money in the Bank contract, which means you can cash it in whenever you want, at any moment you want, and you just win the match. So technically, I guess Drew McIntyre can win, but my guess is that Drew McIntyre is not going to win. I always say that Money in the Bank, usually the winner is usually someone that you don't expect to win. Like, dare I say, last year with Otis winning the Money in the Bank ladder match, and even though that was a total dud, but my point is, usually Money in the Bank, someone you don't expect to win, wins. At least that's what I see. Hopefully they follow that formula this year and they pick someone that probably deserves it a little more. At least there's a little spotlight instead of Drew McIntyre. As for my highlights of this episode of Raw, to be honest, it was really Ricochet and Morrison. Like I said, they were put on a hell of a match if they were to do it again. And that spot that Ricochet did, that he jumped from the top rope all the way behind the barricade to Morrison, great spot. And the Kofi Kingston and the MVP face-to-face segment, I mean, man, MVP just knows how to talk with conviction. He knows how to make, you know, his client Lash just sound so vicious and you know, determined, and that he deserves the world. And then Kofi, you know, he's putting on a pretty good promo, you know. He's very focused, very serious. He wants to kick Lashley's ass. He wants to be WWE champion again. Again, will he do it? Probably not, sadly, but who knows? It's something can happen. Surprisingly enough, in my highlights, I mean, there's no Alexa Bliss because she's usually in my highlights, but she didn't really do much tonight. She came out, she tried to mind control Nia, and then she kicked Reginald in the balls, and then she just goes backstage. So, I mean, she didn't really do anything. And there was a very mediocre, disappointing episode of Raw. As for my rating, I'm giving it a 6 out of 10. Nothing crazy happened, you know. The storylines, you know, they kept going, but when I look at some of the stories going on right now, I feel like some of them should just end, as in a sense of Elias versus Jackson Riker. I think that one should just come to an end. I think the Eva Marie and Doudrop thing should just come to an end, and just, you know, make Doudrop just go singles competitor and Eva singles competitor, or at least like, you know, like show Eva looking for someone else to like be her partner or whatever. But the Doudrop Eva Marie thing is not working for me. Shayna Baszler, sadly, she's just, man, she's just going down the ladder, and it's not even her fault. It's these people that just don't know what to do with her. Other than that, I don't know. This episode of Raw really made me like question a lot of things that they're doing, and especially with kind of make sense of the trash, I guess, that we're seeing on TV with what's happening backstage, with, you know, with them hiring writers that don't really know much about wrestling, but, you know, they know a lot about entertainment. And I get it, sure, but I feel like you should have at least like two people in there that at least know about wrestling and like what's happening, so you can kind of have like a team of, okay, these these are entertainment writers, and then these are like the sports writers. And with the recent firing of one of the writers that they literally hired like a week ago, because she came out saying that she doesn't know the Bobby Lashley's name, and she doesn't know what's going on, and they fired her because you're not really supposed to talk about what's going on in the company. I mean, hey, that's on WWE. You hired her knowing that she had no knowledge about anything. She probably did tell you that she doesn't even watch it. Why hire in the first place? Just because she worked in TV shows and has a film production thing? I mean, that means nothing. I feel like WWE should be hiring people that know about entertainment, like TV entertainment, like comedy, horror, action, whatever. And at the same time, you need to have at least like two or three people that know about the sports side of the wrestling. So you have the best of both worlds. Boom, you combine it into one formula. And boom, I'm pretty sure you have better writing. Hence, you have a better show. But I don't know what they're doing. It's almost disappointing at the time. And supposedly, you know, like Vince said, they're saving the best things for when we come back. To when they come back to a live audience. I know I bought my ticket already for when they come to my city, so I'm have high expectations. And supposedly they're saving everything for when there's a crowd. We'll see how that goes. That will conclude this episode of Reach Wrestling. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. I hope you guys are staying safe, staying healthy, helping each other out. And as always, I will see you next time.